Well, this morning, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll begin our study there in just a moment. Certainly good to see you this morning, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together and worship God. And appreciate the songs and the message behind those songs. The lesson this morning, the title of the lesson is a question, am I a Romans 12:10 Christian? And I want to begin by reading that verse, and we'll read it a couple of times to kind of get it in our minds. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And once again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. This week's lesson, sermon preparation, began in one direction and ended in another. So I set the early studies of the week to the side, and that'll be another lesson for another time. But as I began to read this particular passage this week and began to study it and think about the words that were in this verse, it really was interesting to me, and it really caught my attention and made me begin to think about just how profound this verse is. Now, this is in a group of verses that is in Romans chapter 12. It's telling us how we ought to be behaving as Christians. So we could really do a whole lesson on this group of verses. But we're just going to focus on this one verse primarily this morning in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. As I begin to think about being a Christian and what all the benefits we have of being a Christian, probably the first thing that comes to our mind is we understand the benefit of being a Christian in regards to our salvation. We've received the salvation of our sins as children of God. But one of the greatest blessings that God has given us to help us sustain and help us to thrive in this life is the blessing that we have of one another. And we think about the church. The church is made up of those who have been added to the body of Christ, those who have responded to the truth that Jesus is the crucified Son of God, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day for our justification. And we know from Acts chapter 2 that those who gladly received the truth of this message were baptized and they were added to the church. We read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 47. So the church, we understand, makes up the body of the saved. Now, within that body, God had a purpose for those people. He has a purpose for us. And that purpose is that we be a family. A family who is involved in one another's lives. And that's hard for us sometimes to accept. I think it's really easy for us to get complacent sometimes, and I'm placing myself in this group, becoming complacent in the fact that we are the church only when we are here inside these walls. And that is just simply not the case at all. We are the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are family. And it's amazing when you begin to do word studies and you look into some of these verses that talks about the church and how God wants us to treat one another, just the emphasis and how family is just right in the middle of it, is really the foundation of what it is that God wants us to be. There are several one another scriptures in God's Word, and I just put a few up here on the screen behind me, and there are probably 50 more maybe. Romans chapter 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another, love one another, Romans 13, 8. Serve one another in love, Galatians 5 and verse 13. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4, 2. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, Ephesians 5, 21. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. So just in this handful of verses that we've selected here, we see that we have the word live, love, serve, be patient, submit to, bear ye. In all of those words or group of words there, all of these are given to us as it pertains to one another. In understanding what these mean and what our responsibility is to these verses and everything the Bible has to say about us being a family is vitally important if a local church such as the church here at University, of which we're a part of, is going to be successful and operate as a family. We have to understand these verses. We have to understand what our responsibility is in regards to what God is teaching us about one another. And one of the obstacles that we face in life sometimes is discouragement. We get discouraged, all of us do. And that discouragement doesn't just come from one place. It comes from several different places. What has Jody discouraged may not be discouraging me, but what has me discouraged is not discouraging DJ. And we could just go around the room and we all could talk about what's discouraging us. And chances are it's maybe some similarities there, but we all have different things that discourage us in this life. And it's going to manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Well, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So the admonition from Paul here is, do not grow weary. Do not become weak or faint-hearted in doing good, wholesome, virtuous things. Do not become discouraged. We shall reap if we faint not. I don't know about you, but that's kind of difficult for me sometimes. Because I grow weary sometimes. Sometimes I get faint-hearted. Sometimes I get discouraged. Because that's a real possibility for us as Christians, isn't it? Because we live in this world. We face things daily in our life that just maybe turn our world upside down. And we don't know what's going on. We don't know which direction we're coming from. And we get weary and we just kind of begin to go through the motions of this Christian thing, and we're not really going to get out of our comfort zone and do anything. We're going to come to worship service and do what we have to, but we're just kind of not really going to get out of our comfort zone. And I'm right there with you sometimes. We all are there at points in our Christian life where we just feel like we're just kind of plugging along. We're just kind of dragging our feet, as Mike preached a few weeks ago about dragging our feet through the world. We just kind of get kind of lazy and slothful because we get so discouraged. We don't intend to be lazy and slothful in our spiritual life. But we allow the things in this world to sometimes drag us down. Well, the admonition from Paul is here to not let that happen. To not let that happen. And sometimes we get discouraged, though, and we do let that happen. But I was suggesting this morning that we need desperately one another in this area when that's the case. I need you when I'm discouraged, and you need me when you're discouraged. We need one another. God didn't establish the church and then after the fact think, well, that might be a good idea. Maybe they can encourage one another. That was part of the plan from the very beginning. It's one of the primary purposes of the church, is to edify and to build up one another. So we desperately need one another in this area, and God knew that. So Scripture says, "Let us do good unto all, especially them who are of the household of faith." And the word household here simply means relative. It means relative. And I found that interesting. That's one of the first words that we look at this morning in regards to this family atmosphere in the church. This word household again means relative. So Paul encouraged us to do good, but to all, but chiefly and in the greatest degree to our relatives in the faith. It's kind of a paraphrase of that verse. Do good unto all, but chiefly in the greatest degree to our relatives in the faith. Now, with that thought in mind, I want us to focus on one of the one another passages of Scripture here in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, that we read at the beginning. As we ask ourselves this question, and you ask it to yourself silently in your mind right now, am I a Romans 12, 10 Christian? Now, what this question is not, is I'm not asking, is Ron a Romans 12, 10 Christian? And Ron's not asking, If Anthony is, and we're not going around the room, we're asking this question to ourselves. And I'm asking myself this question this morning. Am I a Romans 12, 10 Christian? How does it apply to me? Let's do self-examination this morning. Let's look at ourselves this morning and see where we're at in regards to what this Scripture teaches us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Again, let's read it again. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. This word, kindly affectionate, is a very strong word that Paul uses here. And to the best of my knowledge, this is the only place that this particular Greek word appears in the New Testament. Now the thought is expressed several different times, but this is the only time this particular word is used. And this word has the idea of a natural relative, of cherishing one's kindred, children, parents. So again, we see this word, kindly, being kindly affectionate, how it ties into the family relationship. We see here on the screen, cherishing one's kindred, especially parents or children, fond of natural relatives, fraternal toward fellow Christians. So the idea here is we are to value, we are to treasure one's, or we are to treasure our kindred. We love our family, don't we? We love our family, we love our spouses, we love our children, we love our parents, we love our aunts and uncles. We love our family. There's something special about being together with family, and that's what God wants. Now, sadly, we can't look at the world and get a good picture of what family ought to be, because many times families aren't what they ought to be many times in the world. And there's not that natural affection as it should be, but that's how God desires that it be. Valuing or treasuring one's kindred, being fond or warm-hearted toward natural relatives, sibling-like or brotherly love toward fellow Christians. So this is the charge from the Apostle Paul here in regards to how we are to view one another. How I am to look at David, and how I'm to look at Mike, and how I'm to look at Jamie and everyone in here. How I'm to look at you. This is the mindset, this is the view that I ought to have of each one of you. Valuing you, treasuring you as my kin, as my family. Because as children of God, we're part of the family of God. We have been born into the family of God. We are fellow heirs of the promise that's given to the only begotten Son of God. And this is the charge from Paul. So clearly the idea here of being relatives, a family within the Lord's body, is what the Lord desires. That's what He wants of us. Paul says, you demonstrate, or you live this out in your lives. You live this out in your lives. You live this out, this relationship, with brotherly love or with fraternal affection. The Greek word for honor here gives us this idea of value, something that's valuable, something that's precious. And the idea of preferring one another is to lead the way for others by deference, or to concede or give way. That doesn't sound right, does it? When you think about leading the way, you're going to be out in front. And you're going to be leading everyone, and everyone's going to be following you. But the idea here is you're going to lead the way by stepping out of the way and conceding your place of first place, or whatever it is you want to call it, and allowing others to go first. That's the idea of leading. That's a good leader, one who's willing to step out of the way and allow others to go first. And watching behind, watching their back, and being there for them. And that's the idea of preferring one another here, to concede or give way. In other words, we're going to let others go first, and we're not only going to let them go first, we're going to place a high value on letting others go first. We're going to lead by way of humility. Do you ever open the door for someone and say, oh no, you go first? And they say, no, you go first. You say, no, you go first. We ought to be that way, though. It ought to be that important to us that we want to be last. We want others to go before us, and we're trying to allow them to go in before us. That's the idea of preferring one another. We aren't going to do so grudgingly. We're not going to sidestep and allow someone to go in front of us and have that false humility that the Bible teaches us not to have. We're going to willingly and not grudgingly, we're going to allow them to go before us. And we're going to consider it an honor to the highest degree to defer and prefer others over ourselves. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus set this example for us. Jesus considered it an honor to the highest degree to give preference to us over His own well-being. Jesus set the stage. He set the tone for us. Jesus led the way by deferring or conceding the power that accompanied His position for you and me, because He had that power. He didn't stop being divine. He didn't stop being divine. He didn't lose His power. He didn't lose His position. But what this means is He conceded the employment of that power. Even though He had that power, He didn't use that power. He did that because of you and me. He conceded that power so that He could be what we needed Him to be, so that we could have salvation. The example of that is found in Matthew 26 and verse 53. After Peter cut off the ear of the Roman soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told Peter, He said, to put up your sword. And then He asked him, He said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And here's my paraphrase of that verse.
Do you think I can't, Peter? Because I can. However, I am conceding that power so that I can save you, because that's what we as the Godhead decided that we were going to do, and we recorded it in the Scriptures, and we aren't going back on our word. This is what Jesus is telling Peter. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't. Jesus could have stopped that. In fact, he put the man's ear back. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to do, but he was willing to concede that power. And he was willing to give way to that power in order to be what we needed him to be. So Jesus has given us the perfect example of what it means to prefer another over yourself. He set the perfect example. Come down off of the cross, if thou be the Son of God. He could have come down off of the cross, Matthew 27, verse 40. However, he esteemed it an honor. And he tells us in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us that when Jesus looked to the cross, he considered it a joy. He esteemed it an honor to concede that power and lead the way into eternal life. He could have come down off the cross, but instead, he valued the fact that if he stayed on the cross, that he was going to open up the way for eternal life, to where we could have eternal life. And that was very valuable to Jesus, so he gave preference to you and me over himself. And he remained that battered, bloody mess upon that cross for us. Therefore, note what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. This is from the God's Word translation. Don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, he says, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. Don't be concerned only about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others, and have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of his equality. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. By becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus gave that up. Jesus conceded that in order that he could be what we needed him to be. And this is the example that's set forth for us. And I think we all can understand that this morning. I think we can really clearly see what Jesus has done for us and how we're supposed to follow this example. However, there are some things sometimes that gets in the way of us fulfilling these things. Sometimes there is envy. Sometimes there is pride. Sometimes there is jealousy. Sometimes there is anger. And we could go all the way down the list, and we could continue to name these things we talked about letting go of last year. But these are things that can really deter us and fulfill in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And following the example of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 through 8, which in essence is the same command. This is a quote from Adam Clark. He says, consider all your brethren as more worthy than yourself, and let neither grief nor envy affect your mind at seeing another honored, nor yourself neglected. How do you feel when you feel like you've been neglected? How do you feel when you feel like you've been neglected and someone else is being honored, and you feel like you've done a little bit better than they did? That's human nature, isn't it? That's difficult for us to accept sometimes. What we're seeing here in this verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, among the family of God. Now, we can see that in the world. You may see it in the workplace. You may see it at school. But within the family of God, within the church of God, that ought not be the case, ever. And I would suggest to you this morning, there is a foolproof way that we can make sure that that is never the case. It's a very difficult lesson for us to learn. Giving way to personal honor and personal preference for our brethren. But here's the kicker in all of this. Here's the plan. If every single member of the local body does this, you aren't going to feel neglected or unappreciated. Have you ever thought about just how this circles back around? If every single member of the body of Christ is doing what is required of us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, who is it among us who is going to feel neglected and unappreciated? I'm not going to feel like I need to honor myself or promote myself or post on Facebook that I did this or I did that, or write some letter and say, well, I'm baptized. I get letters sometimes from people and they're just telling me everything that they've done and just how proud they are of themselves and how much God should be proud of them. Well, there may be other motives behind that, but what I'm saying is within the body of Christ, no one should ever feel the need to have to do that, should they? No one should ever feel the need to have to do that. Because if every single member of the local body does what is required of us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, then we're not going to feel neglected. We're not going to feel unappreciated. Because if everyone is doing it, then at least someone in the congregation is making you feel appreciated because everyone is doing it. Someone in the congregation is giving of themselves for you. They're sacrificing themselves for you. But they're not being neglected because someone else is doing the same thing for them, and someone else the same thing for that person, and someone else the same thing for the other person. You continue on down the line because why? Everyone is doing it. Everyone is involved in fulfilling Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. Now, if everyone gets on board with Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the things that hinder us from being Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 Christians will take care of themselves. If we all are doing it, envy and pride go away because there's nothing to be envious and prideful about. Those things are kind of, jealousy finds itself kicked out the door because there's nothing to be jealous about. Because there's some dangers here when this isn't happening. When everyone's not on board or when only a few are involved, there's some dangers there. Because not only are our brethren being neglected when this isn't being fulfilled, when we fail to employ these directives in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, but we place a major stumbling block in front of those who are trying to. Because you may have someone who's trying to put into practice the guidelines set by our Savior. They really want to live how Jesus lived. In Philippians chapter 2, however, they feel unappreciated. They feel neglected. Therefore, the potential for envy and pride and jealousy, the stage is set for that to grow. Now, we can make things easier on one another, or we can make things a lot harder on one another, can't we? Well, which one is it that we're going to do? Where do we fall at? Because regardless, here's the other part of this. Regardless of whether anyone else decides to be a Romans 12:10 Christian, it doesn't alleviate our responsibility to be one anyway. Remember Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 said, everyone's deserted me. He didn't stop loving Luke. He didn't stop loving Mark. He didn't stop loving Demas. He didn't stop loving any of those individuals. So he knew he still had to be that type of Christian that he wrote about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. So we still have to be that type of Christian regardless. However, how much easier? How much easier is it, and will it be, if there isn't one, if there isn't two, if there isn't five, but there's an entire congregation of God's people who take this simple little verse, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, and make it a staple in their lives and say, that's who I'm going to be from this day forward. Who among us will be lacking? Am I this morning, Jay, and you ask yourself, am I a Romans 12:10 Christian? Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Let's take a moment and let's pray that God will help us be that type of Christian this morning. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. We are mindful of just how powerful this verse is that has been recorded for us by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. Father, help us to take this very familiar verse and to re-examine it in our lives and to put it in our hearts and be determined to be a Christian who is preferring others, preferring our family, our Christian family over ourselves, leading by stepping aside and allowing others to go first. And help us, Father, to look at that not with a grudging heart, but help us to look at that, Father, with great value, that we look at that as something that is very precious in your sight. And Father, help us for it to be precious in our sight. We are so thankful for this family here at University, Father, and we pray that we all can employ this in our lives. Even in the event that we are doing these things now, help us to do better. Help us to grow more closer every day, to grow closer to one another, and to be a family that you desire that we be, and to help one another along the way, and to lift one another up as we are walking through this life. We thank you for Jesus, who set the perfect example for us when he had the power to come off the cross, and he stayed because he preferred us. And we thank you, Father, and we ask that in his name. Amen. Are you a Romans 12:10 Christian this morning? If you're not, and you're not been living that way, and you would like this church family to pray for you, we would be happy to do that.
I would suggest that we all, whether we think we are or not, to take that verse home and put it in our hearts today and think about it and see how much we can improve in regards to this. There's another question this morning. Am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? The family of God is a great thing. It can be a great thing. It can be a wonderful thing. And Jesus paid a very high price so that we could be part of this family that we've been trying to describe and talk about this morning. So am I a Christian? Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we alluded to it earlier. Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. So if you're not a Christian this morning, this is what Jesus has done for you. We noted in Acts chapter 2 that those who gladly received the truth of this message were baptized and they were added to the church. They were added to the family of God. This morning, if you've not done that, why don't you do that as together we stand and as we sing.